FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's February 13th, 2018. Well, we saw the markets retrace, basically have a three-day correction where they lost 10%. You hadn't seen that in years, a 10% correction. Are happy days here again? Are the markets going to go back for more punishment? Good questions. Hey, first, as always, participate in the show. Just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. So Danielle Park is with us now. Danielle, happy Tuesday.
Hey, thanks, Kerry.
So is this just a couple of day little life-threatening near-death experience, or do we have more of this to look forward to?
Well, you know, we're certainly due for much more of it. Whether this is the final tipping point, it's hard to tell. Can't tell actually yet. But there's been pretty significant technical damage done. So if that is the case, it is more likely that you will see, you know, a relief recovery of some duration and then another leg down, another test. Ultimately, if you recall, there was a big sell-off in 2016 into the early part of February that year, and that remains kind of the downside test of this particular rally. So if we, you know, revert back to there, then I would say that we're into the full-on bear market phase that we've been long overdue for. But at this point, we'll just have to watch it play out a bit more.
You know, the market has a habit of doing what you don't expect, right?
Well, yes. However, it's doing what I did expect. It's just a question of how many more sort of saves or interventions or gimmicks, perpetrators of the cycle are going to try and pull out of their hat in order to keep the thing up a little longer. So, you know, yes, on a day-to-day timing basis, Lord knows, you know, you can't tell, especially with swings this wild. But on a any kind of measurement basis, you can certainly tell that you're way overstretched and that you are both technically and fundamentally in for a major correction phase. And it's just a question of when, not if.
All right, so when you see something like this happen, where you've had a market that's been very complacent, volatility is at record lows. I mean, since they've been doing the VIX, it broke 10 in, I believe it was November of last year. So you see the market basically humming along. Nothing can go wrong, right? And then all of a sudden it does go wrong. Was this the moment that you'll look back on and tell people you should have gotten out, but you didn't? Can it go up from here in light of the technical damage that was done here? What's your thoughts?
Sure. Anything can happen short term. However, long term, there is very high probability that we're going to get into a significant correction of the 20% plus range. That would just be a modest pullback on the first Fibonacci retracement if you're talking about technicals. If you're talking about, you know, bear markets are a recurring phenomenon. If you're talking about within a secular bear market, which is what we've had since 2000, and we know we're still there, Kerry, because valuations are still at the extreme end of historical ranges. Even Janet Yellen, on her way out on February the 1st in a press conference, acknowledged that all the valuation metrics are at the high end of historical averages. She says, now, is that a bubble or is that too high? At the end of the day, who cares what you call it? The point is, it's not investment quality. That's for sure. It's speculative quality. And so, again, with the high leverage, with all the money that's been borrowed to pour into speculative pursuits in the past few years, when the thing turns, it turns at lightning speed. And that's what we saw in the past few days. So I'm not at all surprised at the extent or the rapidity of the declines. Neither am I surprised about the, you know, dramatic point drops, because anyone that can do math goes, okay, you know, the index is at 27,000, the Dow can drop 1,000, and that's hardly, you know, significant. But because people are so unaware, inexperienced, selective memory,
yeah.
bad memory.
All
they
of
forget
the above.
All what a bad market does. And so they're taken off guard always. They've fallen asleep at the switch again in terms of their comfort level with speculation. And that's because we've been in this extremely low volatility environment. Now, I was actually someone who was following the VIX back, in 2005, six, as it was plumbing the lows below 10 and was had historically never been that low for as long as it was during the credit bubble buildup in 06 to 08. Back then, you couldn't actually invest in it. And it wasn't until after the last collapse that all these ETF makers said, hey, let's make these products because everyone's so bearish now that they want to have a way to express this extremely bearish sentiment, which was, to buy things that move with the VIX. Now, that just turned into a massive cottage industry of leverage on leverage, derivatives on derivatives, like mania, crazy products. And then, of course, it all went the other way, where people were buying these products, which have this horrific effect on capital in the end, because they're all, the derivatives mature at zero, and you're certain to lose all your capital if you hold it long enough. But then everyone just used it as a tool for the casino. And what we're seeing in the news flow in the last little while is, which we knew already, is that these are highly manipulated products. So this is high HFT and all sorts of gimmicks. Many of them are not actually trading in the open market. So it gives an opportunity for people to make a market, to fabricate prices, to bang people down to stops and knock them out. And then, it's the wild, wild west. And, VIX used to be a valuable sentiment indicator before people could do all these crazy things with it. And now it's just become another bastardized mess.
Hey, it's funny how things get corrupted over time. And what's amazing is that technology has become such a tool for corruption. Don't you agree?
Oh, because complexity and opacity are just these perfect veils for deception and deceit. And that's what we're seeing. It's just taking everyone to the cleaners, the gullible. I heard someone saying the other day about a commentator talking about how these extremely naive trades have been put on by people who think they're investing. And they're not. They're just running the table. They're at the casino. And when they win for a while, they get super cocky and double down with more and more of their money, whether they borrow that money, which a lot of them have been doing, or whether they borrow, take whatever savings they had. We know that savings levels as a percentage of disposable income, Carrie, in America, but also Canada and many countries, are now back at the tiny percentile they were in 2007 at the other cycle peak. So very little savings, very little cash, tons of speculation, and now tons of carnage when the thing turns, because just a little will wipe you out a lot when in those circumstances.
Oh, that's for sure. And history is just repeating itself once again. Once again, we shouldn't really be too surprised about this. I mean, it's been a common theme of yours for quite some time. And, like you said here, it was the worst week in 9 years for the market, and probably can look forward to many more of these, no doubt.
But, I think it's an opportunity for people. I really have tried to stress this in the last week because, as I said, people fell asleep and weren't paying attention. And in the final, in the abrupt awakening, my phone rang off the hook last week with different media outlets wanting to know, what's happening? What's happening? Is it the machines? Is it the algorithms? Have they gone insane? Is it the short VIX funds? Is it rising interest rates? What is it? And it's like, well, it's all of that, you see, because all those things were driving prices up for no good fundamental reason. The stock market has grown so much faster than the economy, so much faster than revenues or employment or income, anything that matters in the longer run. The stock market has greatly surpassed that in terms of its exuberance in the past few years. So all those factors that were driving it to ridiculous heights then turn on a dime and start driving it down. And of course, no one's ever complaining when it's going up, Carrie. No one's ever asking, why? What's happening? Why? They're all saying it's because I picked the right things and my I'm so smart, or my advisor entrepreneurs are genius, all this stuff. As long as everyone's got free money flowing in to passive products, everyone's a genius. And then when the thing starts to go the other way, everyone's wanting to blame each other, other people, you know, anything but realize that they were doubling down at a casino with inappropriate risk and they got away with it for a long time.
Okay, agreed. So the question is, well, we know that feeling, it's a euphoric feeling. I learned at a podcast conference, there's four different neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, I think, serotonin, and of course, I don't remember the fourth one, which doesn't matter. But the one that counts for our purposes is dopamine, because, you know, dopamine deals with the reward center, the pleasure center, and there's nothing more pleasurable than making all this money sitting on your rear end, watching a screen, and it's just easy money. It's like when you're winning in Vegas at a slot machine or at the tables, and you don't really know why, it's just happening. I mean, this is exactly the same thing here.
I think it's more madness. Dangerous, though, Carrie. It's more dangerous, because if you're sitting at a slot machine and you're pulling and you're winning, you realize there's zero skill involved, right? You're just blind luck and you're running your luck. That's awesome. But when you're trying to do, quote, investing in these market conditions, and you think that you're actually doing something skillful, or, you know, that you've actually know what you're doing, when all boats are rising, there's no discernment whatsoever. It's just everything's rising. And then when everything crashes, it's doing it for the exact same reason. So it's much worse, because people get sucked into this idea that they're investing. And this has not been investing for, I would say, since at least 2012. This has been, you know, gimmicks and rigging and tricking and front running and, you know, free money and credit, all that, but nothing to do with anything that actually is, you know, sustainable habits in the real world.
And speaking of that, as close as you get to, you know, they call video poker video crack. It's the most addictive game in the casino. And believe me, there's a lot of addiction. I always say that the casino is home to all vices. But what about what happened with Bitcoin, which got just slammed down? You and I have been waiting for that one for a while. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at $86.39. Bitcoin price analysis, the bottom is likely in, according to this site called Brave New Coin, which we won't go into.
You have to be brave, right?
I don't know.
Or madness.
or a fool. But look, Bitcoin only goes up. And yeah, Bitcoin wasn't in a bubble. I mean, when I was at the North American Bitcoin Conference, I heard that statement repeatedly. Oh, they say it's like tulips, but it's not. And, you know, every bull market, every mania has what I call its rationalization. And its rationalization is why this time is always different than all the others.
Yes. So, but here's what productive thinking people can take out of, as I said, the last couple of weeks. Okay. Everything basically spiked together in January. We saw euphoric readings on sentiment. We saw speculation mania in Bitcoin and everything else that anyone could buy. Basically, it all went up together. So the big mental mistake that many people make is, as I say, they think it's because of their personal acumen, first of all, or their genius or a forecaster's brilliance or clairvoyance or something. And they don't realize it's just a speculative mania where everything is being gamed on the way up. Then the next thing that you can understand, though, is that, you know, you hear people say, well, Bitcoin won't go down when everything else sells off because it's a safe haven. No, it's not. Or emerging markets are the place to be, because people will say, well, we're not too keen on the U.S. right now. It's very fully valued, but we really think emerging markets are the place to be. Carnage. Have you seen them the past few days? Every time you get a major sell-off in this, as I say, in this contraction in credit and speculation, when you get that, it's contagious. It spreads everywhere. So I've been urging people, open your statements and look at what things in your accounts have been moving up or staying the same while everything else has been moving down. And if you only have things in your account that have been moving down 6 or 7 or 8% in the past couple of weeks, you know that you don't have any meaningful diversity for your savings. Make no mistake, your funds, your ETFs, your typical managers have zero cash set aside for buying opportunities. So there is going to be no possibility of taking advantage of a buying opportunity in a cyclical low if no one ever sold anything near a cyclical high or any time before that. You don't even have to sell it at the high, just any time before the big slide starts to maintain your liquidity and your psychological strength. So that's the thing that people can learn from this. Whether this is like the beginning of the bear market now, or whether you get reprise or a little reprieve again here for a bit, who knows? But now is another opportunity to review your holdings to see what kind of positive correlations they exhibited in this down, in this downdraft, and to make adjustments before it's too late.
Agreed. You know, the old saw, no one ever went broke taking a profit. And, you know, hey, maybe the market's going to double again. Maybe we are in a different time. But when you look at the volatility, what you can lose in a very short period of time, if you're ahead three or four times on your money, you should be taking money out, keep putting it aside for when the inevitable crash is going to come. It's going to be here. But my personal opinion is probably we'll have this volatility, this sawtooth pattern for the rest of the year. I just don't know that it's going to crash till later. But you know, imagine if you take your money out, Danielle, and then it doubles again. How are you going to feel then?
Well, because you have to be a grown-up, Carrie. You have to say, I'm not taking it out of the casino because, you know, thinking it won't double again. I'm taking it out because it's madness. It's too dangerous. And there's going to be a great generational buying opportunity when all these bubbles burst. And that's when it's going to be king to have cash and to have flexibility to be able to pick things up. So you can either be mad with the herd now, or you can retain your thoughts and your mental strength and set aside money that will actually be used for investing.
Easier said than done, but I wholly agree with you. Well, on the other hand, hey, look, you get wiped out now, a couple of years down the road, you'll be able to get a payday loan and start going back into the market, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't get me started on payday loans. It's just a tragic product. Tragic. But then there's so many tragic products. You know, the entire financial sector is pretty much devised to take money from people and keep it as their profits. And, you know, the more gullible the individual, the more susceptible to the barbs and snares of their psychological marketing, which they hammer people with night and day, it makes you just a victim. And you just get taken over and over again. And it's painful to watch, frankly.
Hey, you know what? My good guy, one of my favorite comedian probably in the world, Will Rogers, said, "You can't cheat an honest man." Now, that was before the Securities and Exchange Commission Act of 1933, obviously. But you know what I'm saying? It's kind of
my
absurd,
my thing is individuals play a leading role in their own bad results. Unfortunately, time and again, they make the wrong choice. And, you know, I just think it's really important to keep waking people up and saying, you know, don't fall asleep in this stuff. Don't think you're holding things for dividends and that's going to protect you. Because one thing you should have noticed in the past week or two is the dividend paying stuff corrected violently as well. And things that are paying you 3 or 4% a year in income corrected twice that in a matter of 5 days. Yeah. So if you're not comfortable with holding things while they drop, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%, and you're just receiving a dividend of 3%, you know, now's the time to appreciate that you've got that tiger by the tail.
Agreed. Hey, well, you know, dividend stocks are going to get killed to a certain point, but isn't it true that generally the people who are investing in dividend stocks are different than the people investing in growth stocks?
No, that is totally untrue. That is baloney that's peddled from the people selling the dividend stocks. The truth of the matter is that low interest rates and the demographic aging population desperate for yield in the low interest rate environment of the past decade have all herded out of CDs and, you know, government bond, treasury, short money that was principal guaranteed into equity derivative things that are not principally guaranteed, that don't even have to pay you the dividend. They can cancel, they can skip, they can do whatever. If they get into financial trouble, those dividends are not guaranteed. So none of that is true. It's just that everyone was in the same get me into some more yield bandwagon. And so everyone drove the prices up. And so here's the thing, even if you think that you're buy and hold and you're not going to sell and you don't really care about volatility, the problem is that more than half of the people that are in those instruments today are not going to stay there. If they start to drop, they're going to panic as prices fall, and they're going to pummel the people that are still, quote, trying to hold them. So you can't escape in the safety or the, you know, this idea that just sitting in dividend stocks is going to protect you. It just isn't the case. The drops to the capital are going to far exceed the income flow you're receiving. And so that's the kind of reality that you have to see now before it gets a lot worse. You know, how will that make you feel? How will you react? Or will you be the typical human, which is once it's dropped 20 and 30%, then you sell it in panic? Because if you're going to do that, yeah, you better get off now.
Hey, well, one interesting thing about those dividend paying stocks, especially there were the MLPs, they were all the darling prior to the crash of 08, 09, but they got killed when the market crashed. I mean, they totally got killed.
And they were fairly illiquid too. So anything that's fairly illiquid, once people start selling, the price gaps down in a very large manner.
And one of the reasons they got killed is because all of the hedge funds having this free money were margining them up. And, you know, hedge funds, even if they were margining 10 to 1, you know, so they were paying 8-9% some of these things. And then all of a sudden they had to dump to pay redemptions. And those stocks went down 2/3. Some of them went down more than the general market at large. So I think it's a great point that you make that.
And that would be an awesome buying opportunity, right?
But oh, it was. That's what I bought.
Not when everyone's in them. It's got to be when everyone's trying to sell them. That's when the opportunities come.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, well, anyway, Danielle, we are about done. I know you want to get out in the sun and, you know, get all that heat that you can till you go back to the cold place up north. So just go over to Danielle's site, jugglingdynamite.com. I just got some great news, and it was not saving 15% on my car insurance. But anyway, tell you about it later. Hey, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Email us. Danielle loves getting your questions. KL@CarrieLutz.com. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And let's see how Facebook withstands the next downturn, Danielle. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.